knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are. Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you, sir.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today?
My bright spot is, so I've lived in the same apartment here for a bit.
That's
and
true.
It's longer than I've lived in most apartments in my life.
That's definitely true.
And I just re-signed the lease for another year. And so one of the things that I'm doing to sort of keep things fresh is moving things around.
It's a great way to move without actually moving.
Exactly.
Yes.
Reorganizing some of the room in this apartment, and it's having the desired effect. It's freshening things up.
Yeah.
I feel I don't know. Maybe I'm telling myself that.
No,
I'm not
just
sure.
Listen. Don't be mad when you're trying to convince yourself of something that it would be good if you believed in the first place.
I think I believe it.
Yeah. See. So there you go. You do. It's true. Don't worry about it.
I think I feel like it's
you're
like
not hurting anybody.
Right. All right. It's a whole new place. Anyway, okay. What's your bright spot?
My bright spot, Dan, is have I ever told? Do you know about the band Beirut? There's a song on the album No, which I haven't listened to in forever, and I found again the other day. It's called Gibraltar.
Yes.
Excellent. Mm. It's called Gibraltar, and it has this great upbeat to it. It's just got this fantastic one and two and three and four kind of thing. And then it has three huge downbeats. That's the repetition.
Mm-hmm.
And when you walk to this song, everything is going fine. You're just walking along with the beat. And every time it gets to the three downbeats, all of a sudden you go, and then you lean your foot back and then take another step and keep walking. Mm. It's my favorite song to walk to because you can't stop yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop yourself. You take a step on the first downbeat, you kick your foot out,
right.
Then you take another step and you keep going.
I
defy you to listen to this song while walking and not do that.
All right, I'll take you up on that challenge.
Excellent.
I'll let you know by the next episode.
I defy the entire world.
I honestly think I'm going to have no trouble not doing that.
I think
it's going to be really disappointing for you to learn how it's just you.
I understand you don't have the dance in your heart, okay?
I do not.
I realize that. But this song is too powerful even for you.
Okay.
We'll see.
Is it ska? Are there any horns?
No. Well, there are. I mean, it's piano, and there might be a little horn in there.
Might be.
That means
there's not.
You might be pleasantly surprised to hear a little horn in there.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway, you're not going to be pleasantly surprised to hear this episode.
I already knew that way in advance.
Also, something is a little bit weird here. I thought that there would be substantially more stuff to cover, quite frankly, because here we are in the sort of aftermath of there was a shooting in Highland Park,
sure.
Illinois,
yep.
Outside Chicago on the 4th of July parade.
Yep.
And so I kind of thought for sure Alex would do a special report that night.
Of course.
Because he does that sort of thing.
Right. It's been, 4 weeks since our last special
right.
report?
Right. The Uvalde shooting, he did a night of show. And so I thought that for sure he's going to have, it would probably have been too late by the time the news was breaking for it to have been on his show.
Right. But that night he could have picked out some marginalized group to defame with this.
You would think.
You would imagine.
But it never materialized.
Interesting.
And so in reality, we really just have a little bit of stuff from the 4th, his show on the 4th, and then the 5th. So that's what we're going to be going over today.
Interesting.
And I think it will be less interesting than you think.
Well, it always is.
It tends to be.
It tends to be.
So before we get into today's episode, Jordan, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
I think that's a great idea.
So first, No Pants Run. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, David, and then in quotes, this alias. David Watson Watson. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Great alias. Next, Jackson from Texas. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, my cat Zia and her natural ability to destroy everything I know and love. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Next, a your own woke play coin. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
I'm told that's an anagram.
Okay, that makes sense.
Next, the biggest cake fan. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
You've gone the distance. It's been a while since we've made those references.
I'm out of cake songs. Next, happy birthday. This is late. Happy birthday, Jeff, from Dan and Jordan and Melissa. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And Mikey B. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mikey B.
Yeah.
So, Jordan, before we get into today's episode, here is an out-of-context drop from today's show.
Big boy pants time, okay?
All right.
Okay.
It's big boy pants time.
No, I mean, I honestly, this may be the first time that I have ever wholeheartedly, no reservations, agreed with Alex Jones.
It's big boy pants time.
I do believe it is big boy pants time.
There's no doubt about
it. There's no doubt.
I've looked at the clock.
Yep.
It's big boy pants time.
Oh, yeah. Half past big boy pants. I think we're late.
Makes me think of that contestant on that season of Taskmaster with the mustache.
Oh, yeah,
kept saying
yeah.
things were like, it's skin time.
Yes, he's the funniest person alive. When he tried to fart for roughly 6 hours, it just doesn't get... I just don't understand that, man. It's amazing.
So we're going to start off here on the 4th. And something you should know about the 4th that I didn't realize until it was a little bit too late is that it's a best of.
Oh,
Alex just re-aired.
That isn't possible.
He re-aired a number of his interviews, one of them with Dr. Zelenko, who is recently deceased hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin COVID denialist guy.
Sure.
So, yeah, he had that interview and another one, but he did do a little bit up front that was fresh content.
Gotcha.
And so here's where he's at.
All right, big story up on Infowars.com that came out on July 2nd, Saturday, but I want to cover it now. U.S. under more tyranny now than in 1776, says historian. The far left, unfortunately, has taken control of the major five megaphones of our nation, meaning the media, entertainment, academia, and of late science and medicine, says Douglas McKinnon.
So I'm not sure exactly how you quantify relative amounts of tyranny, but I can tell you that certain groups of people definitely aren't living under greater tyranny today than they were in 1776.
That is true.
And they're all the people Alex thinks don't count. This is an article written by a guy named Douglas McKinnon, who Alex is just crediting as a historian.
Right.
In reality, he's a right-wing media contributor who's also written a couple of books that are thrillers.
Ah.
And whose bio makes me very suspicious. On his profile on Simon & Schuster's website, it says he was a, quote, writer, not a speech writer, but a writer for both Reagan and H.W. Bush, quote, and afterwards in a joint command at the Pentagon where he had a top secret government clearance.
All right. So he wrote bedtime stories to help Reagan fall asleep, and
maybe
then he had a fake magical power on the Pentagon.
Well, I mean, I wonder what it is with these folks. Like, Steve Pachanik wrote thrillers, too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Writing thrillers and being a right-wing commentator is... Maybe they go together.
I think they've successfully inverted reality and fiction to the point where it makes more sense for them to come from a fictional background than it does a reality background, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
So he seems to love writing editorials, and you can find a load of shitty takes on his author page on Fox News. Here are some choice headlines. Quote, how long will I be allowed to remain a Christian?
3.5 weeks.
It was written,
if I have a choice.
It was written in 2018. So
ooh,
a while.
So close.
Quote, why Trump's unconventional approach will help him win big in 2020.
Oh.
That was a good one.
How did that go?
Quote, milkshake attacks are not funny. Left needs to condemn pranks before it's too late.
Ah, an old man.
Noticeably absent is a column on this list about things like the Unite the Right rally or any performative concern about groups like the Proud Boys. But
milkshake
attacks.
No, it's surprising.
Seriously.
I mean, you know, for a guy, he was, and I will admit this, he is roughly 400 years old and he was a super slave before 1776. Mm-hmm. So yes, he does. He personally lives under less tyranny now than in 1776.
Well, he also wrote an editorial a few days back, quote, "Real July 4th fireworks. Don't let the left cancel Independence Day."
Oh my God, we were so close too.
So there's a tone here that's fairly direct with some of his own little issues mixed in, like how he thinks that the U.S. needs to have a permanent base on the moon, which would be a flagrant violation of international space treaties.
Yeah.
Also in 2016, he had a vision where he claims that the story of the 40 days Jesus spent on Earth after his resurrection were revealed to him, which he then wrote up as a book.
Oh, okay.
And he seems like a cool guy.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Weirdly, years back, he used to have a bunch of bylines for the Huffington Post, and his tone was a little bit different.
Less grifty?
He posted op-eds with headlines like, quote, "GOP leadership should have condemned racist jokes." Quote, "Why does Washington ignore the ultimate global warming threat?" And, quote, "I am a conservative Christian who supports gay rights because they're a human right." Seems weird. Almost like he had a brand adjustment. Anyway, he went on Fox News and he had an interview where he was promoting his book called The 56, which apparently is about the, quote, 56 patriots who risked it all to sign the Declaration of Independence. He told the interviewer, quote, "Last July 3rd, I wasn't even thinking about writing a book. Then on the 4th of July last year, I did a little bit of a video tour on some of the more liberal sites. And on site after site, I saw guests on the left call not only for the cancellation of the 4th of July, but the cancellation of our founding fathers and the American flag."
Sure.
You can't let that shit slide, man.
Right, 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 right.
Anyway, this Fox and Friends interview he did was essentially a promotional piece for his book, and the sensational-ass nonsense like more tyranny than 1776, it's more or less just another attempt to drive attention and book sales, and yeah. Alex is playing into that perfectly.
It is kind of funny, you know, when he was at the Huffington Post, he asked a question that he would himself answer later, which is, why does Washington ignore climate change? And then he starts to work for Fox News, and he realized it was a shit ton of money!
Well, here's the thing that's kind of bizarre about that Huffington Post thing. Mm-hmm. He was actually not working for them.
Sure.
They used to have that contributor portal
where
you could write your own op-eds.
You could just do whatever the fuck you wanted.
Right.
They were so stupid.
And so that's what he was doing.
Great.
I don't know in what capacity he didn't have like a freelancer contract, I don't think, with the Post. I think he was just like, I'll write this.
He was just trying to find his audience, and it wasn't being a good dude.
It wasn't having a little bit of a, like, I'm not that bad.
Hey, listen, I'm okay with just a little. Okay.
So this next clip is our last one from the 4th.
Okay.
Because Alex has barely any time on the 4th.
God, it would be so much funny if he just did a compilation of Leo Zagami interviews on the 4th.
It would have been great.
Ugh.
Well, because that one time that he came on with the champagne
yes.
was right around the 4th.
Yes.
With his very beautiful wife, just, as they keep talking about.
What are we doing with Leo Zagami on the 4th? I love it.
I smuggled in this wine. So this is where I really should have figured out that Alex wasn't going to be there for the rest of the episode, mm-hmm. because this is pretty early in a segment, and this is usually saved for towards the end.
The United States is experiencing more tyranny presently than it did during the revolutionary period in 1776, according to an author, historian Douglas McKinnon. I read some of his books. In a Fox and Friends interview Saturday, McKinnon warned that Radical Campos Duffy.
That's Rachel.
That the American true history is no longer being taught in schools, that America is oppressed by more tyranny now than in the year it was founded because of the left's stranglehold on inflation, education, and science centers.
We have a stranglehold on inflation?
Because the major big banks and the power structure is funding them. They're not the rebels. They are the establishment. As bad as the tyranny was in 1776, in many ways, it's way worse, in 2022, because the far left, unfortunately, has taken control over the five major megaphones of our society. I don't need to read more of that to you. We'll play the clip coming up here in just a few minutes. But I explain to you, as I do on a routine basis, and I know you know this deep down, wars cost money. And I can't prosecute this war against the New World Order without your support. So I want to ask you on this July 4th, 2022, to redouble your efforts to spread the word about the broadcast, to pray for the broadcast, to pray for our crew, to pray for our host, to pray for our reporters, to pray for me, and to pray for a global awakening to accelerate, which is already happening, and to support us financially. My friends, the enemy's unpopular and they know it. They want to try to gaslight us into submission. Sure. But I got to tell you.
That sounds right.
If the general public, and especially a lot of wealthy people and upper middle class nouveau riche that have sat on the bench, realize you're going to lose everything in this inflationary new world order. And you're going to be targeted under a neo-fascist global government directing communist policies to the grassroots. If you will simply realize that and awaken to it and say no to it, it's game over. And one of the most important ways to resist it is financially. So we try to sell products at InfoWarsStore.com that enrich your life, your immune system.
This is outrageous. I mean, that's sad.
Yeah.
But I did notice, I had a feeling of it that was like, this is too early in the segment.
Yeah.
He must be trying to get out of
there. That's a wrap up.
Yeah. And I really should have not listened to those other interviews because, quite frankly, they were very boring.
Not enough.
So, yeah, you got to give Alex a bunch of that money. But the only reason, actually, outside of like the cravenness of that ad pitch, the only reason I really am interested in that clip is because it's so bizarre how like Alex just weaves his own editorializing into other people's editorials.
Yeah.
And how quickly he lost interest in this story.
I mean, I'm weirded out by some people not being like, "Hey man, I would prefer it if you just quoted me accurately." Even people that he's ostensibly friends with, like, mm-hmm. I didn't make that up. Yeah. Don't make shit you're up putting, and put it in
putting,
my mouth.
You're putting words in people's mouths.
Yeah.
I guess no one really cares.
No one really cares. They make up everything anyways.
And they also don't take him seriously.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it's all a push. But
I think what we have to do is make some of the Bill of Rights conditional, but in this kind of way. You know, like, you never have to quarter soldiers unless you start talking shit. You know, oh, we're under more tyranny than we were in 1776. Guess what? You quarter soldiers now. Now you quarter soldiers. Like, I'm fine with that kind of Bill of Rights. Oh, I'm sorry. Would you rather quarter soldiers? Done.
Alex, you keep talking about how you have a ranch on
exactly.
air. No, you don't. You have
now
a barrack.
You have soldiers. Yeah. That's what you've got.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Well done.
So we get to the fifth, and now the shooting has happened, and I mean, I honestly would have expected... I'm just going to put my cards out on the table. Mm-hmm. I would have expected this to be his top story.
Absolutely.
It definitely is brought up immediately, but it's not covered that much.
That is the most worrying sign of culture I think I can conceive of.
Mm.
It really is the most worrying sign that this motherfucker did that shit, and even Alex Jones is like, listen, we can kind of gloss over this one, honestly.
It does feel like there's a lot of other things he'd rather talk about, but he does deal with this a little bit up front.
This is the shooting in Highland.
I just recorded it.
Illinois on July 4th.
I didn't record that. I can't believe I shot.
And a man fitting the almost identical description as all the other mass shooters has now been caught by the police today after a chase. This is the world we live in, ladies and gentlemen. 53 dead people last week in a tractor trailer outside San Antonio, locked in there to die by the human smugglers because their families hadn't paid the second half of the money. That will just go away in the wash. No one's going to blame 18-wheelers. No one's
going
to blame tractor trailers that could be used as cages to kill people in the heat. They're used every week by the coyotes, by the human smugglers to do that.
So this is a dumb question that Alex is posing, and it's honestly one of the more pathetic attempts I've seen him use to try to deflect attention away from gun-related tragedy, but I'll bite. So why is it that people don't want to ban tractor trailers after these migrants were found dead inside one, but people do want to ban guns after a mass shooting at a 4th of July parade?
That is a really complex and interesting question that I think it'll take just so much time to answer and a lot of historical references, right?
So I'm going to start with the basics. For one, the truck itself wasn't used to kill those people. They were trapped inside it, but if that's the standard for it being used as a weapon, then I guess that you'd really have to just ban any enclosed space.
Yeah, prisons would go away real quick.
Yeah, anything you can be locked inside from the outside, that's gotta go. You can easily see how this is not really sensible, but then again, there is a possibility that the government could pass regulation that manufacturers of these sorts of trucks need to require some kind of fail-safe to make sure people are able to open them from the inside. Maybe that's a conversation.
Sure.
Regardless, if you assess this as a situation where the truck is the weapon, the logic for banning it would end up sprawling into banning things like escape rooms and bank vaults.
Yeah.
Be very bizarre, the notion that you're trying to make.
You know, honestly, I'm warming up to the idea.
Sure.
I think if you
fuck escape rooms.
I think if you have escape rooms, sooner or later someone's going to die. It's a safety issue.
Secondarily, trucks like these need to be registered, so authorities were able to locate the people who owned the truck by a simple check of the logs. Any sort of effort towards furthering gun regulation is the ultimate sign of tyranny for Alex, so that's not something that would ever be tolerated with guns. Third, there aren't cases of groups of migrants dying in trucks basically every day, whereas it seems like with mass shootings, there are. Migrant deaths are unacceptably frequent, but most of them are not in trucks like this, and it's the reason why it's a large story.
Yeah.
This kind of leads to the larger issue, and that is that these people tragically dying in this trailer is not the result of someone having access to a trailer.
Mm-mm.
It's a symptom of a bigger problem, which gets at why someone would be in that trailer to begin with. Alex loves to talk about how the border is wide open and how Biden's just letting everyone in, which really raises the question of why people would subject themselves to being smuggled in a super dangerous trailer, putting themselves at this kind of risk if they could just walk right into the country. Alex wants to make immigration more difficult and make border enforcement more cruel, which will have the effect of making people more open to using desperate measures to enter the country, and thus makes tragedies like this one more likely to happen in the future.
Yeah.
Similarly, he wants there to be no gun regulation at all and wants everyone to be able to have all the guns they want, which will have the effect of making people more people like this shooter on Monday heavily armed and able to carry out horrible acts in the future.
Mm-hmm.
The situations that Alex is trying to compare here aren't analogous at all. He knows that. He just doesn't really have much of a leg to stand on in this situation, so he's grasping at straws and trying to minimize this tragic, horrific situation by pointing to another horrific situation that his policies, or his preferred policies, tend towards increasing.
Yep.
So he can go fuck himself.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. I don't know if there's any reason to talk. I mean, I don't know if there's any reason to have any arguments about guns. It's already, everybody said everything. We're just going to watch people die, and nobody's going to do anything about it.
I get where you're coming from, but I think that kind of apathy is something you got to fight against.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that you could end up stopping yourself from putting effort into things that could have a positive outcome.
I mean, I think problems arise whenever it is something that no individual can any longer do anything about.
Mm-hmm.
No individual can make a difference in this regard.
Yeah.
And no matter how much you organize, what it requires is other people organizing and other people organizing and so on.
Well,
and it never, never can end.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to that in the sense that communal organization is important, but still, individuals can make differences even within the communal needs for organization, in as much as, like, you know, it seems sort of, I don't know, dismissive to be like every dollar counts or whatever.
Sure.
It does, realistically, if a lot of people throw in a dollar to something.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, and I don't know. I get where you're coming from. I get what you're saying, but
I'm not being clear at all, and that's because I'm being incredibly cynical and a dick.
Right.
I mean more. It is not valuable to discuss guns. It is valuable to discuss organization.
That could be fair.
We can. There's no point in arguing with anyone about how guns blah. No point. The math is done.
You
need to organize people and not talk to people with an argument about that.
I think that that's something I could be more on board with.
Yeah.
I think that's a different point than you were making.
It was
a
very different point because I left out the part that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good important part to add whenever
The part that makes sense.
The part that makes sense is usually powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Alex really just kind of wants to talk mostly about the border and what have you.
I saw a headline from the UN itself yesterday. I forgot to send it to the crew. I'm going to ask the crew to grab it. UN agency lists Texas-Mexico border as the most dangerous land crossing in the world. And they give the statistics. In fact, it's twice as dangerous as the next most dangerous border crossing. And that's into Arizona.
USA!
And it goes on from there. Tens of thousands dead a year on both sides. Not even a radar blip.
So Alex is actually talking about a correct headline here, but he's making stuff up. The International Organization for Migration runs a project called the Missing Migrants Project that it seeks to quantify and record the number of deaths and disappearances there are among migrants around the world. They recently released their numbers for 2021, and the U.S.-Mexico border was the most deadly and most dangerous border crossing in the world. That should be a wake-up call, and also seems to run counter to Alex's ideas about a wide-open border. Alex is making up that the Texas-Mexico border is the most dangerous and the Arizona-Mexico border came in second. The organization didn't report numbers like that, and this is just something Alex is riffing to make him sound like he knows more about this than he actually does, because he doesn't know shit. He's also completely fabricating the tens of thousands number. This report, which he's citing, says that they could document, quote, 1,238 deaths during migration in the Americas in 2021, with at least 728 of those deaths occurring on the U.S.-Mexico border. That's a
far cry from tens of thousands?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a really good cut-and-dry example of the way Alex reports stories. There may be a kernel of something correct in that this report does exist, but the details he's telling the audience are generally things that he's just making up to paint the picture he wants them to accept as real.
Right.
And there's, you know, a reason why, and that's because you want to create this thing that is over-the-top bad to deflect attention away from the thing that just happened that is traumatizing people and is threatening to your worldview, which is obviously what he's doing.
Tens of thousands dead a year on both sides, not even a radar blip. But we have less than 150 people killed in mass shootings a year, still way too many. We just had 6 killed in Illinois. 21 killed in Uvalde, and the media will hype the hell out of it, and there will be more copycats, mentally ill, highly suggestible individuals on psychotropics. The individual who is reportedly the shooter, Bobby Cremo, had a YouTube channel. It was taken down last night. I watched all 26 videos on it yesterday.
No, you fucking didn't.
You talk about depressing and scary. I sent links to it to my producers. By the time they got here at 7 a.m. this morning, they'd all been deleted, but they were able to find some of them. But let me tell you what's on them. Extremely haunting. I watched every one of them. He did animations about mass shooting at schools, complete with crying and screaming and blood. He made music videos about the same thing. He even got into the school that he went to years ago and shot a music video inside of it.
So you can see here one of the main reasons that Alex tries to paint the picture that this report was saying that tens of thousands of people are dying a year on the border on both sides, because it's a way that he can minimize the impact of mass shootings. The reality is that mass shootings are bad and happen a lot and are such a problem that you have to lie about something else to make them seem insignificant in comparison.
You know, it's kind of an interesting mirror image of all too often the conversation on the opposite spectrum of gun rights or political rights. Insofar as most people are like, listen, there are problems with the Democrats and we need to choose the lesser of two evils. Mm-hmm. Whereas on the right, the strategy is ignore the lesser of two evils. You need to be way more afraid of 10,000 people dying on the border. Ignore this lesser of two evils, you know, gun, whatever that is. I don't even know about that. You know, it's a fascinating mirror image, I think.
Hmm. That's interesting. So now I was struck by Alex's insistence that he watched all of the guy's videos, as you were as well. He seems to really want to make clear, which is weird, that he watched them all. I don't know why.
Well, if you say I watched all of them multiple times, especially if you're Alex, mm-hmm. I doubt you watched them.
I also think I know which video from a school that he's talking about. And I think that was just a set. I don't think that was actually...
That wasn't actually the school.
I think so.
Yeah, but why not?
Because there's, like, lockers on one side of the wall, and then the lockers are a door. Like, I don't think this is a real classroom.
All right.
I personally did not watch all of this guy's content, but the amount of things I did see lead me to the conclusion that I was unprepared to make a conclusion about what was going on here. There may be a fair amount of content available from this guy, but it may be a while until there's any real idea of what motivated him to do this, and I don't believe that watching a few YouTube videos, which I don't even trust that Alex did, would make anything more clear. I don't trust Alex's assessment on this. And I don't fully trust my own assessment of it because I don't really have a concrete one about what this guy was all about.
I mean, from all that I've learned, I just discovered what a Nazi cat boy was. So I'd have nowhere to go from that. That's my baseline.
You are late to the party,
my man.
I'm
way late to the party.
Yep. Oh, well. You, congratulations and welcome
awareness. It was really nice to not be there for a while.
Yeah. So Alex didn't just watch all of these videos.
Now, we have at least five of the videos we were able to find. I watched over 20 of them last night, some repeatedly. And I should have called crew and had them download them then, but it was 4th of July, and it was 8 o'clock at night by the time I started watching them. It was past 10 before I'd finished. And they did get some of the bad ones, but some of them they did not get. I'm sure somebody will dig them up, but I really don't want to subject you to this. I mean, very haunting. Some of the music's actually pretty good beats.
I hate you.
What?
I hate you so much.
That's so weird.
Deep in the bottom of my soul, I want the hate.
It's really weird. Some of it's good beats.
I mean,
that's strange.
Do you know what that echoes? Us and fucking Buckley.
Yeah. He had some good beats, though.
I don't know
which of the videos had good beats that Alex is talking about, but that's very strange.
Yeah.
Also strange, the notion that he watched some repeatedly. What are you trying to get out of that, man?
I really don't know.
Looking for clues?
I don't know. My first thought is it goes to a dark place, but
maybe just,
most of my first thoughts go to dark places these days.
Maybe he just really, really did like those beats.
He did those beats, yeah.
So yeah, you got to rise above though, because you know you see a lot of people pointing a lot of fingers surrounding the shooting, and Alex doesn't want to do that.
The left's trying to blame the right wing. The right wing's trying to blame the left wing. I did a deep study, probably a 4-hour dive on this guy last night. 2 hours watching the sickening videos, the haunting videos of him, his music videos, and his art videos, and his animation pieces. Most of them about shooting up schools. And I can tell you that it's demonic, just like all the other shootings of this nature. And it's 100% driven by seeing the mass shootings in the media and it being hyped up.
So what was the other 2 hours? You spent 4 hours plus the 2 hours. What was the other 2 hours?
I mean, that was whenever he played the beats for his kids.
Oh, sure. You
know, he wanted to give them kind of like a good basis for hip-hop music and really kind of, yeah.
So this is Alex attempting to appear above the fray and acting like he's critical of the left and right for pointing fingers. But you have to understand that his ideology exists in a certain way. And if you do, you'll understand that this is doublespeak. He believes that the Democratic Party and the left as a whole are either knowingly working for Satan or have been tricked into working for Satan, or possibly some are possessed by literal demons. When he says that the left is blaming the right and the right is blaming the left, but this is really demonic, he's blaming the left, but doing so in a way where he can pretend that there's a larger point to what he's saying. It's essentially an analog for most of his career, attempting to appear to be above the left-right paradigm when in reality, he's just a far-right extremist and his only complaint about the right wing is that he thinks that they're secretly part of the left wing.
Yeah, I mean, well, and the way he treats that, like, oh, the left is blaming the right and the right is blaming the left, you can argue that, but what he's really trying to say is that the left is blaming the right because they're demonic monsters, and the right needs to calm it down for a little bit. They can't be blaming people just yet. We gotta listen. I understand, guys, but right now is not the time.
You know? Or that the left is blaming the right, and the right who are blaming the left are actually secretly also the left.
Right, sure. Yeah.
Like
Dan
Crenshaw.
No one is where I am.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is about it for the shooting for now.
This individual, Bobby Cremio, is the definition of mind control. He also liked to dress up wearing FBI agent outfits. And just like the white supremacist shooter followed the same MO in Buffalo, New York, and was under constant contact with a retired federal agent, I will bet you my bottom dollar that this individual was under cultural mass mind control and probably directed mind control.
Okay. You want to make a bet?
I mean,
I think that's a pretty easy bet to win, probably. Yeah. He'll never pay out, and he'll pretend he never said that when he's it's impossible for him to prove anything.
Yep.
So, like I said, this is about it. He said his piece. He watched these videos. It's demonic. He's a weird dude who dresses up like an FBI agent.
Sure.
It's probably mind control,
right.
And Alex will bet his bottom buck.
But he's not going all the way into saying that this is a false flag. He's just saying that the kid was mind controlled by the government. So it's not a false flag.
Well, he's probably mind controlled for sure by the culture. So like video games and music and
sure,
what have you.
Sure.
Yeah. And then the media covering mass shootings makes a copycat effect. And
right.
He's also under mind control.
Right.
And probably on psych meds.
MK Ultra.
Right. So that's where we are.
Right.
And then the rest of the show for a bit takes a different turn.
The most dangerous land border in the world is the Texas-Mexico border. And today, we're going to have a lawyer on who's involved in this later. I think it'll be in the third hour. I'll cover this coming up, last segment of this hour. A whole string of Texas counties and towns are going to declare an emergency of invasion and total collapse and call for aid from the state and federal government. Texas is in a total and complete emergency.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Yep.
I mean, you know, it is so unsurprising to go racist so quick.
Boy.
As a distraction technique.
Mm-hmm. At this point in the episode, I had high hopes.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. But
no.
I had some kind of a hope that this is Alex reporting incorrectly.
Sure.
And it wasn't somebody who was actually trying to declare immigration and invasion.
So it's somebody who's going to try and declare immigration and invasion?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That sounds right.
It's about as bad as it you imagine.
Yeah.
It's really fucked up. And it didn't become clear how fucked up it was until the interview at the end of the show actually happens.
I don't even know if that's true anymore. You know, now that my imagination includes that there is no bottom,
mm-hmm.
I really don't know if they can surprise me with anything at this point.
What if you walk in and you see the crawling chaos as a Thoth?
That would shock me. I mean, but
wait,
I think magically speaking, that would have to, right? It emanates.
Might be Nyarlathotep, might be the crawling chaos. I can't remember.
Right.
One of them appears as an itinerant showman.
Sure. But I'm fairly certain that it's magically impossible for me to not feel fear around that beast, right?
Yeah, I guess so, probably.
Yeah.
So Owen's going to cover this press conference about calling immigration an invasion.
And today on the War Room, 3 p.m., when they have the press conference, Owen Schroyer will be carrying the press conference live, 3 p.m. Central, Infowars.com/show, and the live feed section of band.video. Hope you'll share it, because Texas is calling for aid, and we need to listen to what's happening, because the collapse of Texas heralds the collapse of the United States and the designed failed system. Speaking of that, I want to talk to listeners. I want to be very, very clear with you right now.
Wow.
I told you 30 months ago you need to start buying storable foods because of inflation and coming food shortages under the Great Reset.
Speaking of that.
And that you would only save money by buying food then because food prices would explode. Exactly what I told you happened. I only promote and sell things that I believe are the very best plan for myself personally. And so a lot of you have been on the fence about this. We have high-quality storable food, hundreds of different types of high-quality nutritious food ready to ship to you at the lowest price you're going to find.
So I need to point out that Alex wasn't selling his emergency food buckets as a way to save on grocery bills in the near future.
Yeah, I doubt that.
He doesn't get to claim that he got that one right because he was using all kinds of fear-based shit to sell this food. The sales pitch was often that your family was going to starve to death because there would be no food, so you needed to buy this stuff. Not that inflation was going to make some things a bit more expensive.
He said he would barbecue your ass. That was why you were buying food, because in 10 days, Alex himself would eat you.
Or with COVID, there would only be lone survivors.
Exactly. Like, you can't, where would you go? There's nobody to man the grocery store.
Right. It's cataclysmic stuff. It's right. Like the dollar is going to disappear in all of its value, and then you can't buy food. So. Yeah. Yeah,
nobody's
people
gonna be
become
like
cannibals within 15 days.
Yeah.
It's that shit.
He wasn't like, buy storable food because milk is going to go up by $1.50 per gallon.
Yeah, I don't know. I find this disingenuous.
Yeah.
So there was a shooting at a parade, a 4th of July parade. There were deaths. A lot of people hurt.
Yep.
Here's how Alex is going to spend some time.
But when I start the next hour, I'm going to spend two segments on this stack right here. For TV viewers, you can see this big stack in my hand. This is mainstream government reports and mainstream news articles saying that genetic engineers have created synthetic aliens, not of any plant or animal DNA, but out of nanotech.
All right. So that's where we're at. We're going to complain about immigration being an invasion, and we're going to prove that scientists are inventing aliens.
Wow. I really think this would make InfoWars listeners change the channel.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know.
I kind of think they go there looking for, I mean, especially if there's a mass shooting. I think they go there looking for him to make up some conspiracies about it.
I do agree.
You know?
But I also think that maybe he is keenly aware that there's enough of an internet economy for that he doesn't even need to do that.
That is entirely possible.
It might be a risk that he doesn't feel like he needs to make, like big swings on these kinds of things.
They'll come back tomorrow.
Right, and maybe it makes him a little more interesting to prove that aliens are being made by scientists.
Possible, especially for people who want to pretend that mass shootings are no big deal. I don't even know why we're talking about them anymore.
There's another reason he's doing this, and we'll get to that later.
Nanobots, he's got them?
No.
Ooh.
This is a multifaceted, thousand-prong attack, economic, cultural, biomedical, hitting us from so many angles, but it's all been prepared and blueprinted and wargamed by the Rockefeller Foundation, by the Carnegie Endowment, by the United Nations, by John Hopkins, and that's how we know all this. I didn't just say, oh, look, these documents match what's happening a few years ago when this takeover started in early 2000. I was doing whole shows and writing books and making films, hit films. I mean, no exaggeration. Remember Google Video? And then when they bought YouTube 16, 17 years ago, they began to phase it out. I released Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement in 2007. And Google Video was only around for about another year and a half after that. The last time I checked Google Video, it had 89 million views on it.
Whoa.
Okay.
And then they killed Google Video. Now, it had one version with 20 million views on YouTube. They killed that a few years ago. Another version with 5 million. They killed that.
Whoa.
There's a bunch of versions with a few hundred thousand views left. They're killing those.
Whoa.
We have it posted at band.video for free.
So cool.
The point is, if you go watch it, you're going to want to throw up in your mouth. It's 2.5 hours long. You'll read the quotes, the preparations, the getting ready. And then in the years after that, 2008, 9, 10, and 11, there are hours of videos that we've played here where I specifically read from Operation Lockstep, Rockefeller Foundation. I specifically read from the UN documents and say they're going to release a virus, probably a bird flu strain out of China. It will be one that continues to infect, unlike other viruses, because I was reading their battle plans.
So he spent 9 hours talking about how full of shit Endgame is and how most of the quotes Alex covers in that are actually fake. They're just from, like, memes and stuff. Watching it does make me want to throw up in my mouth, though, but mostly because of Alex's overwrought narration voice.
Yeah.
God, it's embarrassing.
It's really, really annoying.
So Alex gets no respect from me for predictions he's made because he ignores all the millions of things that he's gotten totally wrong. If I predicted that every team was going to win the Super Bowl, I don't get to pretend that I'm some kind of a prophet because I only acknowledge the one prediction that was correct.
Well, you it's nobody expected bullshit. You to pick the Chargers, so, I mean...
Well, I picked them all.
Well, but you don't need to tell people that.
Also, Operation Lockstep still isn't a real thing, and Alex has never and will never cover the documents he bases his conspiracies on in any detail, because if he did so, those conspiracies would collapse immediately.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing that's holding them together is the audience not realizing that the actual documents don't prove anything, and that the actual basis for the conspiracy is just stuff Alex is making up so things better serve his political and ideological worldview. Because of that flimsy foundation, Alex has to keep moving and never spend time covering anything in depth, since that would instantly reveal that there is no depth to anything that he's talking about, and it would destroy the illusion that he's created for the audience.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be a surprise, and I think what would be really interesting about it, if he did just come out and say, I was making all of it up, is how no one would believe him.
I honestly don't think he thinks he's making all of it up.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with that. But, I mean, say there was a come-to-Jesus moment for this fella on the road to Damascus or whatever, and he's like, listen, I got to come clean. I don't think anybody would believe him. I don't think he's necessary to believing his bullshit.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
It exists
without him. Yeah, I don't think so. And I bet that to some degree it wouldn't have mattered early either.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bummer, but yeah, probably true. So, look, Alex is so right about this.
What a transition.
Yep. He's so right that it's suspicious.
It is kind of suspicious.
But see, that's why they've got to keep us off of the general internet, because people will go back and see that and go, oh my God, this happened absolutely the way Jones said. Well, it's not the way Jones said. And there's a new phenomenon, and I don't mind it. It's very sad for people out there that I see without even looking, and people send it to me on Instagram, Twitter, everywhere. Jones is one of them. That's how he knows this. He's with them. That is such a crutch, and that is so wrong, because I want you, and a lot of you have already done this, to learn how to know what I know. You can go read Operation Lockstep from 2011. You can read SPARS 2025, 2028 from 2018.
So this is exactly the kind of criticism of Alex that I hope to eradicate from people's minds. And it's not a coincidence that this is the kind of criticism that Alex is more than willing to bring up and address on his show.
Love to engage with this criticism.
The reason is because in order for someone to be making this criticism of Alex, they need to have already bought in on the underlying premise that Alex has been right about everything.
Mm-hmm.
In order to argue that he must secretly be a globalist or some kind of a limited hangout or a honeypot, you have to already accept Alex's framing of the world, and by doing so, you've lost any ability to actually make any meaningful critique of what he does. Alex is not right about things. He's a malicious liar who primarily just makes things up. The most work he does about the stories he covers is to skim a headline and then improvise an explanation for how that fits into his worldview. His understanding of the primary sources he relies on to build up said worldview is horrific, and none of the documents he uses to prove his points say what he claims they do. Alex hasn't just been wrong about stuff. It's almost meaningless to quibble about rightness or wrongness, because really the criticism of Alex that's most cutting is that he's just making up most of the stuff he talks about, and none of it has any value to anyone in the audience.
Yep.
He's welcome to surprise me and actually address our criticisms of him on his show, but mysteriously that never happens.
I don't think he's going
to
do it.
So weird for the pettiest man in the world to never bring up that there's a podcast that's released 700 episodes in the past 5 years about how he's a liar and a piece of shit, but he spends time pushing back against meaningless anonymous criticism that, even if the audience accepted it, still upholds Alex's genius and his conspiracy worldview.
Yeah.
So weird.
Yeah. I think it's an ironic point to say it's suspicious that I'm right all the time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, yeah. It not usually am I suspicious of somebody who's right all the time in the sense that, like, oh, you must have inside information, so much as I am, like, you're probably making this up. That's why you're right all the time, because you have control over what happens in this narrative.
Yeah.
Yes, of course you're right.
Alex is more than fine to address conspiracies about his conspiracy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's still within
that's
the game.
Perfect game. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, what's funny about it is that he breaks into the consciousness almost like what he's created a completely fictional world, and sometimes it'll touch the real world just the slightest little bit. Mm-hmm. And then people will be like, holy shit, he's right. His fake world is in the real world, mm-hmm. you know? And it's just a tap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So really, his pettiness, I want
to
really...
Next to godliness, I've heard.
it is, for him.
Yeah.
I want to really stress how petty he is.
He's so petty.
Because when he was talking about the scientists creating aliens...
Yeah.
I told you there's another reason he was covering this.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hit some really big news right now, and then we're going to take calls starting at the bottom of the hour before a special guest joins us on the... declaration of emergency about to be made in Texas of total invasion and collapse.
Interesting declaration.
This happens a lot, and I know when I say these things on air, they're going to be taken out of context, but God works in mysterious ways, and what they make fun of me about today, people discover to be true tomorrow.
So his big news is that someone posted a little clip of him and it was going around on Twitter, and it was about him declaring independence from the globalists and devil and stuff.
Sure, sure, gotta.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's the big news, is that he went viral on Twitter.
The big news is he had an Independence Day speech that was not as good as Bill Pullman's. But...
it's not even as good as some of the other ones he's done in the past. Honestly. He's declared his independence a lot.
He has declared a lot of independences.
Right. It's so funny to me. I was in the shower and I was thinking, I was like, him declaring his independence from the globalists is essentially like if you have a job and you quit that job. And then you're like, all right, I guess you quit that job. And then like 2 months later, you quit that job again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You already quit.
No. But I've had a lot of time to think about it.
Right.
And I've decided to quit it better this time.
You already quit.
No. Let me have another chance.
All right, fine. And then okay. A couple months later, you quit again.
All right. I know I said I had it better the second time, but really third time's a charm,
man. You make a huge deal out of how you're quitting.
Until 20 years later, you're all old men just walking in going like, hey, Ralph.
Now.
Quitting again.
Now imagine the job doesn't exist. That's the situation we're in with Alex, yes, declaring his independence. And I appreciate people who are late to the party who like post clips of him declaring his independence,
sure,
from demons,
sure,
and stuff,
sure.
Because it is novel, and it's, you know, if you don't listen to his show, you don't know that he does this shit all the time.
Yeah, and everybody likes a good Independence Day speech.
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
So anyway, yes, he has had this video that people have been making fun of, and so he's going to spend two segments talking about how aliens are being created by scientists.
Right, right. Because the video went around making fun of him.
You know, there was a shooting at a 4th of July parade.
No, but that didn't happen to him specifically.
It seems like this is a waste of your time, my guy.
It's a waste of everybody's time.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So, Alex is kind of complaining about this video going around, but this is
gleefully, right? Like, look at how famous, look at how much people are talking about me,
he's
right?
He's complaining about people paying attention to the thing he did specifically for attention.
I know. This is a clip that he made just to go viral.
It's ridiculous.
And so it's on MSNBC, it's on CNN, it's on ABC, it's on Newsweek, it's everywhere.
Not.
Alex Jones claims aliens want to make humans into cyborg slaves of Satan. Well, if we could put the image on screen from 5 years ago that really caught people's attention of Mark Zuckerberg walking into one of his events, and he's walking bipedally, but all of his minions are strapped in to the VR goggles. Those are cyborg slaves of Satan.
Sounds right.
People love that term I coined, but the point is that it's a metaphor for what's happening.
Okay, there's a picture of Mark Zuckerberg and a bunch of people have VR goggles on.
Yep.
Cool.
But he's walking bipedally, you understand.
Right. Okay, so did they when they took off the goggles and got up.
No. They had to stay down while Satan was there.
Sure.
And then Satan left, and then they could stand up again.
Uh-huh.
And the VR goggles were to blind them from Satan's beautiful light. He's Lucifer, obviously. He's the light bringer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, look, Alex plays the clip of himself.
Yeah.
And then, this is shocking to me.
Uh-huh.
Because if you listen to this carefully, he's essentially saying, I believe everything in this clip quite literally.
They took me out of context, but I should say I believe all of this.
So here is the short clip out of context. I declare this July 4th, 2022, to be a declaration of independence against the alien force on this planet today, waging war against humans and our biology and our very future that is attempting to exterminate the majority of us and force the minority that's left to merge with AI computers and become cyborg slaves of Satan. The average person spends now 3 days out of 7 days looking at screens. And most of those messages are anti-human. Men can have babies. Two women can have a baby. All of this is to get you off balance and not standing up for what you are and who you are. And at the base of it is this transhumanist movement. So when we come back, I'm going to play a few minutes in context as I then go right into the type of alien I'm talking about. What's happening? But I'm saying I believe the Bible. I've seen it true. Predicting the mark of the beast, all this, that it is a interdimensional attack, a collaboration of collaborator humans put into power in high places by the principalities of this earth.
Sure.
Off-world creatures marooned here to attack humans and disease humans and annihilate humans while they use us that are actually more advanced than them. We just don't know who we are. To build the advanced technology they need to then escape. And boy, do they attack that and make fun of it because they know I'm exposing the Illuminati cult.
That's not why.
I think he's saying that they're making fun of me in this out of context clip.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to play the full clip and then they'll be convinced that I'm correct.
Right.
Yeah.
But look, I mean, like, one of the reasons that, like, you know, you complain that someone's taking you out of context is because that thing that is out of context does not accurately
represent what it is that you're trying right. to communicate.
But Alex is saying, like, not only do I believe everything.
100%.
I want you to know that it's crazier than you think.
I know. I really feel like that's, like.
I want you to know that I believe that demons were stranded here.
You think you can make fun of me for me telling you only a small bit of the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
You don't even know.
So what Alex does is one of his trademark rattling off
sure.
of headlines that he thinks proves his point, and it does not. It amounts to just less than a hill of beans.
All right, so I just did a few minutes on that. They took it out of context.
Real quick, he did play his full clip. But
did it convince you?
No.
Oh.
And they're all over the news, on TV, rolling images of Independence Day with flying saucers over New York City blowing up the Big Apple. So let me show you, and anybody watching this on TV or anybody on the radio can record this. You can go look up every one of these articles, and you can see it for yourself what I was talking about. Here's one good place to start with. And this is the main religion of the globalists. It's all they talk about. You know, we can play you countless Davos Group clips. Looking forward to the end of humanity. COVID-19 shows us we're a failed species. We must merge with machines, get rid of what we were and become silicon. Wall Street Journal.
So that's not an accurate depiction of that article at all.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Nope. That is an article about how as there is greater technology and health availability and stuff like this, that income inequality is going to be a drastic factor in things. And maybe this idea that we have of overcoming disease and some ideas about transhumanism,
sure.
maybe a lot of these ideas are actually not as good as some people are making them out to be. Mm. That's actually what the op-ed is about. But
Let's
Alex
be thoughtful
loves the
about
title.
The future. It might as well be the better title of there. Let's think about this before we just start cramming shit in our bodies.
Alex loves the title, though, and it works for him, and it's all that he remembers. So,
yeah.
Hurrah.
Yep.
Then there's some more.
NBC News. Cyborgs will replace humans and remake the world. James Lovelock says, NBC News says, soon there'll be no more humans. Humans will be obsolete in the future. You will accept it. From human to cyborg, are you willing to augment your body? Why the future doesn't need us? Wired.
So that's, I mean, the cyborg thing is just this guy, James Lovelock, who is a guy who's like, here's an idea I have.
Yeah.
it doesn't mean that cyborgs are going to replace humans.
I've got an idea.
And then, real quick, the why the future doesn't need us is that article from Wired magazine that he lies about all the fucking time.
I mean, nonstop.
He believes that it is just the whole article is just the small passage where the author, Bill Joy, quotes the Unabomber.
Right.
That is what he has taken away from this entire article.
Yeah.
So, boo.
I mean, you know, I wonder how Bill Joy feels knowing that he was the mouthpiece for the plan of the globalists. You know, does he ever think, wait, I think I might have been used? Or is he in on it?
I don't know, but I'd sue Alex if I were him.
I would definitely sue Alex if I were him.
Yeah. So, there's another clip.
Scientists create alien, this is CNET, alien life form with artificial genetic code. That's what I was talking about.
So this is just an article from 2014, and it's not about a life form in the way Alex makes it seem. Researchers they fused a modified E. coli with some lab-made nucleotides, and the genes that they put in were able to be passed down when the bacteria reproduced.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it is fascinating.
Yeah.
And this is a clear example of Alex just having headlines that he likes to go back to, because if it weren't, he wouldn't use this catchy headline, and he would know that in 2017, the same team had a further breakthrough where they, quote, announced that their semi-synthetic strain of E. coli is the first to both contain the unnatural bases in its DNA and use the bases to instruct cells to make a new protein. Or he would know that last year there was another paper published about this ongoing research that's been headed up by Dr. Floyd Romsberg. Alex doesn't know anything about this story, but the headline works for him, so he just incorporates whatever he wants it to mean into his story. That's basically all he's doing.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Yeah. I mean,
he's doing nothing.
If you wanted to pull that story out and not be like, oh, there's a new alien life form, and more be like, has anybody ever read any story where people have played God before? Just throwing this out here. Has anybody ever read a story where people played God before? How did that turn out?
Mm-hmm.
They played God. What happened next?
Well, we'll get to that a couple of citations down the road.
Sure.
But here's the next one that Alex is misrepresenting.
NASA watch. New life forms discovered on the space station. NASA yawns in response. This article's key because...
Key.
It's got dozens of links in it to them announcing they created aliens with synthetic systems on the space stations in zero gravity.
So this is a story from last March about four strains of bacteria that were found on the International Space Station inside, three of which were previously unknown to science. NASA's most certainly not yawning about this, because the idea that bacteria could survive in space has massive ramifications in terms of being able to grow food in space, which would be a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
That said, these are not newly created life forms, and it's pretty well understood that these bacteria came from Earth and were introduced to the space station by way of a passenger or cargo. Research on them found that they were genetically and taxonomically similar to bacteria commonly found on rice grains. To put this in perspective, though, here's an expert who spoke to The Guardian. Quote, in every spoon of soil or stool sample, there are hundreds of undescribed microbial species. I'm sure there's still hundreds or even thousands of less characterized, maybe even unknown microorganisms aboard the ISS. So yeah, it could be a game changer in terms of space food, or it could be something that's kind of interesting, but not really that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Whatever the case, reality has no connection to what Alex is talking about here.
Right.
This is nonsense.
Right.
They created aliens in zero gravity.
I don't think you can do that mainly linguistic reasons.
Now you're getting into a place where reasonable people could disagree.
Yeah, now we have a conversation.
We're arguing semantics.
Now we have a conversation. Now I'm willing to get my hands dirty.
So look, there's a lot of headlines that Alex reads, and a number of them are kind of like, I don't even know what this has to do with anything.
Right.
And I got a little bit bored.
Right.
But there was one other one that I think is worth mentioning, because I think this is maybe as close as he gets to anything that seems like, huh. All right.
Okay.
Maybe we're in messy territory.
Okay.
Here.
World's first living robots can now reproduce, scientists say. That can create a chain reaction. CNN.
Chain reaction.
Hell yeah.
So Alex is reading a real headline, but it's not really accurate to the story. These robots can't reproduce, per se, but they can clump things together. So these are basically clumps of frog stem cells, which can respond to certain stimuli that researchers give them. According to one scientist, quote, "At the moment, they don't do much. We can get them to walk across the petri dish very, very slowly, or swim through watery fluid very, very slowly. There's nothing going on inside it. There's no brain. There's no digestive system." However, researchers have noted that they have a tendency to clump things together when they were introduced into their petri dish, mm-hmm. and the idea came up to see if they would do that with other frog stem cells. The scientists added some new frog stem cells, and the xenobots, as they're called, did in fact clump these cells together, effectively creating a new xenobot.
Ah.
This is not what Alex is describing. He's playing fast and loose with the headline, but I would maybe say that we shouldn't go too much further down this research road. When you're talking about that plague, God, like, this is dicey.
Come on. What's the worst that could happen?
I was reading an article about this, and there are like beneficial outcomes that are kind of interesting about this in terms of being able to, deliver medicines places in your body.
Sure.
There are a number of applications for it, but yeah, I mean, just on the surface, it seems like, guys, come on.
No,
I've read a book.
We're the most responsible scientists to be doing this. Listen, we're not crazy.
I'm sure they're not crazy.
Who said we were crazy? Sorry.
This is where I kind of drop into Alex's head.
Yeah.
You know, that place where reality and fiction merge.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit.
When you've got frog stem cells that somehow are pushing other frog stem cells.
Sure.
Like, that's to be like, guys.
You know, but
this is fine now. But
I always rely back, you know, I have dabbled in writing, and you know, maybe sometimes a lot of those books about people playing God are more about how the writer needs narrative tension, you know? And playing God and then everything being fine doesn't sound like the narrative tension there is like, what the fuck did we ever need God for? Let's find out how to kill that guy. Now you got some narrative tension.
I agree with you that if you're ever making a story and it involves playing God, it has to go wrong.
It has to go bad. Yeah. It can't be fine.
Yeah, there's no reason that story, there's no tension there.
They played God happily ever after.
Right. Short story.
I loved it.
So we get back to the shooting now because Alex has got a piece of news that makes this able to be covered.
Right.
Well, they've just had a press conference. We're getting the video for you in the next hour up in Highland Park, Illinois, where a psychotic shot and killed 6 people, injured another 60. We saw the photos and videos of him dressed like a woman. They said at the press conference he was dressed like a woman when they captured him. Starting to figure this out yet, folks? This is like Mars Attacks, where the alien comes in and it's dressed like a woman when it tries to kill everybody at the White House. It's their camouflage, ladies and gentlemen. When I say alien, I mean alien to humanity, alien to the future, alien to everything we stand for as humans.
This is legitimately nuts. This is the last segment of the second hour, and Alex has done almost zero coverage of the shooting at the 4th of July parade. It's a giant deal, and honestly, it's essentially a meatball just right over the plate for him to cover. This is an attack on the founding of America. The target reveals the motive. These commies, they can't handle the red, white, and blue. This basically writes itself for him to the point where it's suspicious how little he's talking about it, choosing instead to spend a half an hour complaining about how someone tweeted out a video of him declaring independence from the devil. But now, Alex brings the shooting back up because he has a hook. He's heard of a way to make this a part of his transphobia, so it's not quite so threatening for him to talk about it. He can always fall back on the meaningless boilerplate, mind control, psych meds type talking points, but that only goes so far, particularly in relation to an event like this that has all of these other dynamics to it.
Yeah.
By making this about his abject hatred of trans people, Alex can now more comfortably talk about this shooting because he can scapegoat a vulnerable community instead of dealing with the actual issues that underlie this tragedy. In reality, it's believed that the shooter dressed as a woman as a disguise to help him escape the scene, particularly because he has notable facial and neck tattoos, which could be covered up with a wig, scarf, and makeup. He was not dressed as a woman when he was arrested, as Alex is claiming. This is just Alex trying to turn this into a transphobia narrative, which you notice he also did in the immediate aftermath of the Uvalde shooting.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that one going around a couple of times, and I really do believe if somebody said that to my face, I would attack them. Mm. Like, my eye was twitching listening to him talk about that. I will viciously attack you if you say that to my fucking face.
It's not not fun.
Nope.
But Alex goes a little bit further.
Before YouTube took down his 20-plus videos I watched last night, at least in 5 or 6 of them, he dresses as a woman. So now he dresses a woman to hide his identity. No. He was drinking the New World Order Kool-Aid 110%. And so look for him to cover that up as well. All right, we're taking your phone calls.
Wow, it's so weird how Alex didn't bring that up earlier when he was bragging about how he'd watched all the videos multiple times. So strange how it was just a vague accusation of demons and devilry and how he dressed up like an FBI agent. But now that he's heard that Cremo dressed as a woman to obscure his identity escaping the scene, I guess Alex remembered all those videos he totally watched. I know that this is a lie because Alex is such an aggressive transphobe that if he had watched videos where Cremo was dressed as a woman, that would have been the only thing he talked about for the first hour of this show.
We would have gotten a special report that night.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been our special report.
I imagine that it probably would have if he had that hook earlier on.
Yep.
It's offensive, it's disgusting, and Alex is clearly lying. I mean, when he says he watched all these videos, you know that's a lie.
Yeah, you already know it's
a lie. And now this makes it even more of a lie.
There's a compound lie on top of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Alex does take some calls. He gets one guy who's a weirdo.
First of all, thanks for all the products you've got. I've got Alexa Breeze in all my rooms, and my wife, she gets a little upset when it's not running, so she's kind of used to that now.
Thanks for keeping us on air.
yes, sir. So, I guess the one thing I want to bring up is, excuse me, have you ever heard of Jonathan Kleck?
No.
You haven't? Well, he's right there in San Antonio, and he's got a line on all this stuff, and I got to tell you, he's really helped me. I listen to you during the day, and I listen to him at night.
Sure, is his name but, Jonathan Kleck or Kleck?
Kleck.
Kleck. All right.
His name means Jonathan Kleck. Yahweh has given a bell ringer. So he's got the explanation for all this transgender and all this alien. It's pretty. It's all Bible fact.
So Kleck is a doomsday preacher in San Antonio. But he's not one of these "the end is coming" guys.
He's really "we got to make the end happen."
No, he's "the end is here." It's already happening.
Right. So you might as well act like
his
it.
Website is called "This Is It Before the Fire." I watched a little bit of one of his videos, mostly to figure out if this was him calling into Alex's show to get free press.
To see if he was doing it.
It's not the same voice, but I did see him doing some really weird attempts at linguistic breakdown of Bible verses.
That's the best.
And I also noticed that his YouTube videos have about like 100 views on them, so pretty small audience. This guy's in real niche.
Him 100 more times,
conceivably.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I got the sense from looking at his website that this isn't something good.
No, that doesn't sound like it.
Nope.
It's not like, oh, we better be super nice to people. Nope, that doesn't sound right.
So yeah, we get another call, and this guy wants to talk national monuments.
Hey, Jones, I got 3 main points I want to make. One about Mount Rushmore, Trump, and Flack. So first, Mount Rushmore, related to cultural warfare. So if you look at Mount Rushmore, we have the Founding Fathers, Jefferson, so on and so forth. You're right now putting up a Crazy Horse, a monument of Crazy Horse's own monument, who was at the time, you know, scalping the 7th Cavalry, you know, when we fought in that region. It's a cultural war, and the left is winning the cultural war.
If that's the cultural war that's being fought here, then, yeah, this guy is making it pretty clear that his side is just in favor of a homogenous white culture. I sure hope the other side is winning that culture war.
Yeah.
Also, Teddy Roosevelt and Lincoln are definitely not founding fathers.
Nope.
And he also seems to have forgotten George Washington.
Yeah.
The Crazy Horse Memorial is not like a plan to destroy Mount Rushmore. It's just another monument nearby that people have been complaining about for decades. I went to Mount Rushmore when I was like 13, and I remember people complaining about the Crazy Horse Memorial then.
Yeah.
They started working on it in 1948, and it's not even close to being done. And it's just this perfect grist for the racist mill.
Yep.
They're just, they cannot stop complaining about this. It's a good indicator of who sucks. If you complain about the Crazy Horse Memorial,
I mean,
maybe that's not true.
It's a good indicator of somebody who wants to finish a genocide.
Mm. Yeah. It's impressive that the heads are carved into that mountain, you know, Mount Rushmore. But
I really want them exploded. I really want them blown up.
I've been there.
Yeah.
I've seen it. Huh? I think it's kind of dumb.
Yeah. I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing?
When I say that it's impressive, I kind of mean that it was, you know, ways ago. Technology was different back then.
Sure.
And they managed to do that.
That's pretty cool.
Which is impressive.
That is a physically impressive feat of, again, genocide. It is a part of the genocide.
Well, Teddy Roosevelt's on there because he made national parks.
On the part of the genocide.
So we got another caller.
That's a part of the genocide.
Okay, hold on now.
Sorry.
This guy has a story that makes me sad.
Hey, Alex, first time caller. Totally appreciate what you do. Listen, 12 years ago, I was driving down the street, about a half a block down the street, and there was a mailbox, and it said 9/11 was an inside job and InfoWars.com. And that was 12 years ago, and that woke me up. And
that's all it took?
Everything you've done, I've got you on the in the studio. Where I work every day. The thing is that man put that sticker on that mailbox for a reason. And it woke me up. And it also took me 12 years to kind of get the balls to go down there and introduce myself. You know, it's kind of a weird situation. And, I mean, this is a neighbor. It's not a city block. It's a rural block. And long story short, Dr. Zev died on Thursday, and it was the 4th of July weekend. And I said, this is the time. I'm going to go down and introduce myself. Got the balls, went down there, banged on the door, and I probably said the most old man thing I could probably ever say in my life at 48 years old. Young girl answered the door, and I said, hello, is your dad home? And dude comes to the door, and I said, hey, my name's Phil. I live down the street, and your mailbox woke me up 12 years ago, and I want to thank you for that. And he lit up like it was the 4th of July.
It was. It was 4th of July weekend.
It really was.
His face lit up like it was the 4th of July.
It was literally 4th of July.
God, this makes me sad.
Man, that is... There should be more.
So I was thinking about some of the dynamics at play here, and I think I would be kind of afraid to knock on the door, too, because I know he's super
armed.
Got
a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a lot of guns.
And probably a little bit suspicious of people.
If his little girl answered the door, I'd be like, Jesus Christ, don't shoot me. Don't shoot, little girl.
I'm cool.
Yeah, I'm just here to talk to your dad. I got my hands over my head.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I saw a sticker, so now 12 years of my life have been stolen from me.
Yeah, I saw a sticker, it blew my mind, and now I put up with this nonsense.
Oh my God.
Yep. I would love to just put another sticker over there. Alex Jones is full of shit.
Man,
wake up.
If that story had ended with them kind of like, and we went on a date. And
they become
that
friends.
Would be, I mean, if they did more than
the
that.
The guy brings him some InfoWars t-shirts. And they're good friends. They're happy now. And it's like, yeah, great. You guys found each other. You're weirdos together.
Yeah, I guess.
It's great.
I guess.
And this will one day be a terrorist cell.
Yep. That's how long it takes.
So we get to this interview that Alex has with this guy who is awful.
Yeah.
They're trying to declare a Mexico border invasion.
Okay. I'm interested in this because I think there would be unintended consequences if you declared that Texas was fully under invasion.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably a lot of them.
I would assume so. So I'm interested to see where this goes.
Man, I don't know if you are. But anyway, here's his introduction.
Jonathan Houlihan is a great lawyer and a patriot practicing in Texas and New Mexico who has been spearheading county citizens defending freedom. And at 3 p.m. today, it's been covered by a lot of Texas TV stations. We'll be covering it here with Owen Schroyer in the War Room coming up at 3 p.m. Central. And this is an incredible time right now.
So in addition to being involved in this racist nonsense, Jonathan Houlihan also recently was trying to run for the 8th District House seat in Texas, which he lost the GOP primary for back in March 2022.
Sure.
He came in third, so I guess he lost, and this is the next play, trying to stoke fear and brand immigrants as invaders because I guess he thinks that's politics.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what else would it be? Would it be some sort of like almost bland office job where you kind of put together an idea of what it is that people generally have a taste for and then try and improve their lives and all of that stuff?
No.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't know what to expect from this in terms of like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And it went off the rails pretty quick.
That sounds right.
This has been ongoing for months and months where they've organized to declare an emergency, declare an invasion, enforce the Texas governor to act, Governor Abbott, under the Texas Constitution, Article 4, Section 7, as the commander-in-chief of the Texas Constitution, allows him to repel invasions. And under the federal Constitution, under the Guarantee Clause, Article 4, Section 4, the federal government guarantees the states are free from invasion and guarantees a Republican form of government. And that's not happening. So you also see the states have warlike authority under the federal Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, where they can repel invasions and it grants them warlike authority.
This legitimately seems like what he's suggesting is like a military repulsion.
I do believe that he's suggested that Texas declare war on immigrants. And then we're going to pretend that that doesn't mean all of Mexico.
And Mexican people living in Texas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because here is the problem. Well, there's a lot of problems.
There are so many problems.
Everything he's saying is a problem. But then when they get into talking about, like, what does this look like in concept, you really start to get the
little Japanese internment.
Nah, not that one.
I'd also like to see the state of Texas enter into more compacts under the compacts clause with states like Florida, Arizona, and then really from a security standpoint, have the state
secede from the fucking union,
the confines of the federal government, but within
that's
the
right, because of a power vacuum, they're not doing their job. It's up to us under the federalist system to do this. And for those that don't know, this, the UN says most dangerous border in the world, totally collapsed. Mexican president says U.S. government's lost control by design. I mean, it's on record. It's got to be done. We can't just keep waiting for Washington. What do you think Abbott should do under this emergency if he does what's right?
I think Abbott should do what Dwight D. Eisenhower did in the 1950s and deploy the entire Texas National Guard and enter into compacts with other states to rebut and shut down the border completely.
Not to put too fine a point on this, and I'm very sorry to use this language, but Eisenhower presided over what was called Operation Wetback that ran from 1953 to 1954 and led to the deportations of between hundreds of thousands to up to over 1 million people, many of whom were U.S. citizens of Mexican descent.
Yep.
It's a historic shame on our policy decisions as a country, and to hear this guy thinks that this is a good model for what we should be doing, it's a really fucked up sign, and it's indicative of what he actually wants.
Yeah.
He doesn't want increased border stability or security.
No.
He wants to deport masses of non-white people.
Yeah.
That's that's the whole game.
Eisenhower, if you use Eisenhower for inspiration on this one, what you're actually doing is using Andrew Jackson for inspiration on this one. Well, fuck it. And you're actually using et cetera, et cetera. The point being, it is the trail of fucking tears.
It's expulsion of indiscriminate people you have just deemed to not be American.
Yeah, yeah. It's a racist witch hunt at
totally,
scale.
Totally.
At large scale.
And it's the kind of thing that has ripples through generations.
Yeah.
Generational wealth is disrupted and you know, people are still feeling the effects of that that mass deportation. Even now, 70 years later.
Yep.
And he wants to do this again, and fuck this dude.
Wow.
Fuck Alex for being in any way sympathetic to this and promoting it.
Yeah.
God damn.
I was going to say, that's such a stain on our fucking history. 85% of history books pretend it never happened.
Alex probably doesn't know about it.
Yeah, I believe it.
So, look, I have one more clip here, and this is where I just said I hate all of these people. There was a deeply traumatic mass shooting that just happened that you're giving short shrift to, not even really talking about, except a little bit later you're able to turn it into part of your transphobic narratives. Fuck off.
This is really just new welfare people to be brainwashed and controlled. I mean, any day you go to the border now, it's just solid masses pouring across.
Yeah, and they have us. What bothers me the most about it is the smile on their face, that they know that the rule of law is broken down. There's no consequence.
You've got the leftist NGOs in charge of the Border Patrol now managing the giant facilities. We've been down there. Literally, former Soros group heads run all this now.
I can find few things more distasteful than the idea that this guy who's running, or Alex says that he's spearheading this and kind of like in charge, and he clarifies that he's not really like the one in charge.
Sure.
But he's clearly in charge enough that he's the person who goes on InfoWars to talk about this, so that's something. And some part of his motivation is he feels like immigrants are smiling at him because they're getting away with flaunting their being over the law. And that's in your head, my man. This is a product of your hatred of them. You need to do some looking in the mirror, because this sucks.
That is such an encapsulation of, like, it's 2022.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? How is this possible that people are trapped in the fucking civil war? How is it possible that there's so many people who are like, oh, because Magic Sky God, you can't control your life. Like, it's insane to me.
The reason they're still trapped in the Civil War is because they don't think they lost.
Because they lost, yeah. And they didn't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah, man. I gotta say, I'm glad that Monday's episode was fun, because there are a few things that I can think of that are less fun than this.
Yeah.
Obviously it didn't come up as much as you might have expected, but mm-hmm. our hearts go out to everybody in Highland Park, and a lot of people who live in Chicago have connections to Highland Park, so there's obviously, it's very close to home.
Yep.
Although it is not Chicago proper.
No.
As we point out to everybody who's from suburbs. Just awful, and at the time that we're recording this, I don't feel like you really know enough about it to really fully discuss it. So on some levels, it's maybe a blessing that Alex doesn't talk about it that much. But what he does talk about sucks. It's petty navel gazing about how he went viral, nonsense about his ideas about alien life forms, and then some of the most troubling commentary about immigration I've heard on his show. And I think something that's really scary about that is the way that his stuff is treated as pseudo mainstream to folks like Tucker. And like, whereas maybe in the past you could look at some of the stuff he's saying and be like, it's insulated to this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much that anymore. And The ability for this to piggyback from Alex to some other platform to get behind this idea of declaring an invasion or something, like, it's really, really scary.
Yeah.
And I don't like what it portends.
I mean, if Trump announces his candidacy in 2016 hey, might as well have been like, Eisenhower was my greatest idea for the borders.
We forgot about that. He didn't declare on the 4th.
No, that's true. He didn't.
Strategic flexibility.
Yeah. That one was a shocker to
Alex
me.
Alex does not bring that up.
He doesn't?
No.
Why not?
I don't know.
But it was his big scoop. He was so excited.
It was exclusive.
It was so exclusive. It didn't happen.
It was so exclusive, Trump didn't know about it.
He had no idea. Nobody told him. Yeah. If he had known, it would have been great.
Yeah. So we will be back on Friday.
Indeed.
With something. Hopefully.
Better.
We'll see.
Well.
But until then, we have a website.
We do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We are also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at @knowledge_fight, and I go to bed, Jordan.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I hope you all have a wonderful, dreamy, creamy summer.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.